It's time for the truth. Will you join me in studying the Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? I'd like to welcome you to open your Bibles and to read along with me, study along with me. We're in Jonah, the third chapter, and we're going to begin reading the fifth verse. Jonah chapter 3, beginning to read with verse 5. And we're going to spend most of the time down in the 9th and 10th verse, and we'll possibly get to the 4th chapter. Jonah chapter 3, beginning to read with verse 5. And as you're looking that up so that you can read along and follow along, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church, and we're located in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street, and we're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. I want to always remind you that we need to be in church. You must find you a church home that preaches the Word of God, preaches the truth, and get in that church and be involved in that church. Enjoy the fellowship of other believers. Watch folks be saved. Watch folks grow. Oh, it's the most exciting place that you can be today when you find a church that preaches the Word and stands upon the Word. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves." Please, that you find a church home. It's so important that that be a part of your life. Don't find just a place that you're comfortable and the people are like you. Find a place where the truth is preached. There are many churches in this area that preach the truth, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and they stand upon the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, and they walk after the truth, the Word of God. And so I ask that you just search those places out, those churches out, that sweet fellowship out, that you may join them and enjoy the fellowship with those folks together. Now, I would like to begin reading this morning in chapter 3, verse 5, through the end of the chapter, and then we'll continue, if time would allow, into the fourth chapter today. Beginning to read Jonah chapter 3, verse 5. "So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even unto the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. He caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by a decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let every man, let men and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw the works that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not." Let's go to the Lord in prayer after the reading of his precious word and before we begin the study. Father, I thank you that today we can come together. I ask that you will use this ministry to touch the hearts of each and every listener, that they will come to know you as their Savior, that they'll understand, and only the means of understanding is by the Holy Spirit touching their heart, and they can use this radio to do that. Please, that they'll allow their heart to be touched and realize that they're lost, they're condemned in their sin, they're going to die in their sin, but there's this precious free gift of salvation by and through Jesus Christ. And I ask, Father, that you'll bring them to that point where they'll understand the condition of their heart, and that they know they need a Savior, and that you, Jesus, are the only Savior. And so please, that they'll come and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of you, Lord Jesus. And then the walk begins, the joy begins, the excitement begins to walk each and every day as we become believers after trusting in Jesus. And then the walk, oh, that joyful walk. Help us to seek your way and will, that we can grow each and every day. And every time we open up your precious word, we learn more about you and become more like you. That from our life will flow the power and the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Oh, that each believer in you, Lord Jesus, everyone that has come by faith, would walk that way. That people would know without a doubt, without a question, that they are, yes, a true believer in Jesus. So please, now that you'll touch our hearts and make us more like you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, last week we spent the time here as Jonah has found his way to Nineveh by listening once again, as it says in the verse 1, the second time the word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time, told him to rise and go and what to say to them. And the words that he was to tell them is in verse 4, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That was the words that he preached. I believe he preached them very powerfully. I think he finally surrendered of the Lord's will, and he decided to do what God told him to do. And it'd be exciting that we could do that before we have to go through things like Jonah had to go through. And yet I've watched in my own life and in many folks as they have decided to do things their own way. I've watched the Lord put families back together, and they come, and those people are saved, and the Lord reunites a husband and wife and the children and watch that family grow together. And then I watch him walk away from them, and I wonder what it's going to take, what the Lord is going to bring their way, allow to come their way, that they will seek and come back unto the walk that they should have in Jesus, that they may have the joy and continue that love between a husband and a wife, between family members, and only the Lord can do that. And so it's important that we listen to the words of the Lord. And he was told, I'll give you the message, as verse 2 says, preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. 2 weeks ago, we talked about that. This past week, we talked about the time and the message that he gave them. And that message was a very short one, and yet very powerful, because it was given by the power and the words of God. And it says here, yet in 40 days, Nineveh shall be overthrown. We must be obedient preachers. We must be obedient teachers. We must be obedient Christians as we go to proclaim the word of God, that folks would be saved, that we're saying and telling the word of God and not just our own canned presentation. You know, our job isn't to be a salesman. Our job is to proclaim the precious word of God and watch the power of God convict the hearts and save the lost souls. And so that's a joy. That's the job that we have before us, and not something that we have to practice over and over again. It's important to know that you were saved and when you were saved and how you were saved. It's important to be able to share that with folks. But please don't sit down and work through it so many times that you do give this presentation just like a salesman selling something. Because, oh, it's real. It's not a product that we're selling. It's Jesus, and Jesus is alive. We just need to tell people about him. We have here, yet in 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That's the message he gave. The result was, we found out last week, that these people turned from their wicked ways. And they were a very, very wicked people. But they turned from those ways, and they turned back unto God. They listened. They responded to Jonah's message. And, you know, that's what we need to do, is when we proclaim God's word, stand back and watch it work. Sometimes people listen and respond in this fashion, and they repent of their sin, and they turn, and they fall on their face and say, God, please that you forgive me. That's what you should do when you come to the Lord Jesus. See that you recognize the condition of your soul and condition of your heart and come to the Lord Jesus. And these people did. They heard that voice of God. Now, I wonder how many times and how many people, without the power of God, could have proclaimed those same words and got no change, had no effect at all upon these people. But my friend, when the power of God goes out, when the power of God is proclaimed, then do people hear and have to make a decision. These people heard, and as we talked last week, that from the top to the bottom, from the king on down, responded. They listened. They turned. They repented. Oh, it's such a glorious thing to watch people do that. It's wonderful to watch it. God does it today. God takes a wicked, dying world and a wicked, dying heart, and he can take his word by the proclaiming of a preacher to say that word with the power and the presence of God will touch and change that life. Now, we have everything so worked out in a service today that it seems like that I don't know if anybody could be saved if they wanted to, because you've got to do certain things at a certain time. And oh, if the Word of God would touch a heart in the middle of a sermon, and all of a sudden someone would come down and get down on their hands and knees and say, God, please forgive me. I'm a sinner. I'm lost. What would happen in your church if that would happen? What would take place if your preacher or you had a guest preacher in, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit, by the means of the preacher proclaiming
God's word that would touch a heart, and that heart would be so convicted that they couldn't even wait to the end of the service, would you be sitting there and saying, oh, praise God. Praise God that that man got his heart right. And God, please show me what's wrong with my heart, that I can get my heart right. And praise God. Would you be able to do that? Or would you kind of look out of one corner of your eye and what's that man doing? What's that woman doing? What's the matter? They must really be evil. They must really be wicked. What's the matter with them? What are they doing? And I'm afraid in most churches today that it would be just like gossip flying through, like a fire with a wind feeding it. And it wouldn't be a rejoicing and an exciting time. It would be a time of what's the matter with them. Now you think about that. When's the last time that you saw somebody get saved? Have you ever had the chance to sit down and go through the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and tell a person that that's the only way that you can be saved? And that person recognize that by the power of God and by the will of God and respond to the whosoever of the book of Romans, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and they come to Jesus. And you sit down and you help them in leading them to a prayer and say, God, please forgive me. And please come into my heart and save me. Lord, please. And He is faithful to come in to save you. He is faithful to come and to keep you. It's a glorious day. It's a wonderful day. It's the most exciting day, the day that you meet Jesus. But those days will continue, and you'll continue to grow and have the pleasure and the joy of being a Christian and walking after Christ. To be a Christian is to be Christ-like. But I'm afraid to say that most places today, most places we call churches today, they may say that's nice. But instead of allowing that person and praying for that person, realizing, God, will you speak to my heart too? Will you help me to see the evil ways that I am going in and direct me to the light, to you, Jesus, please? Oh, that we would turn with a repentant heart and want God to speak to us. And would praise God when someone would come to Jesus. Praise God when someone would come with tears coming down their cheeks because they're so sad and so sick about their life. And they have seen a righteous God touch their heart and give them an opportunity for forgiveness and for love and for power and strength and to get victory over the defeat of sin and the burden of sin, that load that has just held them down for so long. That we could rejoice. Well, from the top to the bottom here, these people did. From the king on down, preacher, deacon, elder, whatever you want to call yourself. Sunday school teacher, you know, we kind of went through the last list last week. Whatever you want to call yourself, whatever position that you have, you search your heart and see that you're in the will of God and not just in the will of man. Don't compare yourself with somebody else at church. Don't mimic yourself as somebody that you want to match. You be like Jesus. Be like Jesus. These people here, they from the top to the bottom said, "Don't eat, don't drink. We're not gonna." They rent their clothes. They tore their clothes off, and they put sackcloth and they sat in ashes to show a condition of how sorry they are. How brokenhearted they are over their sin. And the hope that these people had, that they knew they were so wicked, and they knew that they deserved judgment. They deserved the condemning hand of God, that this city would be destroyed and all the people in it within 40 days. But they turned to God and says, God, please, we're sorry. We repent of our ways. And it says, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from His fierce anger that we perish not? That was a request that they have. I know, God, what You've told us, and we deserve what You've said and the judgment You've sent. But we're sorry. Oh, God wants a repentant heart. God brings up on us the call of judgment. And He tells us what's going to happen. If you don't come to Jesus by faith, and trust in the precious saving power of Jesus at the cross of Calvary, if you deny that you can be saved only by Jesus, if you deny the power, the Scripture says without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sin, the power in the blood of Jesus, please that you come to that and don't deny that. Because God will forgive you of your sin. Because you see, that sin has already been dealt with upon the cross of Calvary for every person that has ever and will ever live. And that free gift, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now please that you listen to those words and that you come to Jesus. And you do as these Ninevites have done. They have turned from their wicked ways. But you see, they were told that there was just going to be judgment there. They said in 40 days this city will be overthrown. Oh, what shall we do? What can we do? What possibly, you know, would God look down upon a sinner such as me, and would he save me from this judgment? You know, that's exactly the way we need to come to Jesus. And yes, he will. We have his word. If you'll repent, if you'll turn unto him, he will save you. These people here had the other words. They had the words of judgment. In 40 days, the city will be overthrown. But they come with such a repentant heart. And it says here, the question again, who can tell if God will turn and repent? The decision seemed to be made that we're going to be destroyed. But God, please, will you hear us? Well, you see, that's what God wanted. When we read that God repented, God's way is that each one of us would be saved. And as we talked about at the beginning, whether it be family or friends or anyone, what does a person have to go through to where they'll finally be far enough down that they'll look up and see the light of the Lord Jesus? What does a person have to go through? And you know, as Jonah here ran away and didn't listen to God, and finally after being 3 days and three nights in the fish's belly, being vomited up onto the shore, at this point then he decided it's time to listen. So he listened. He took care of what he was supposed to take care of a few days before, and that's going to Nineveh and preaching to them this message. In 40 days, Nineveh shall be overthrown. God wanted the city of Nineveh. The heart of God was that they would repent and turn to him. He sent this cold message, this short message. He didn't send Jonah in to tell these people that, you know, God loves you. God will not condemn you, because if they did not turn from their wicked ways, God would have condemned them. Now, yes, God loves you, but he loves you in one, and he has put all his love into one person, Jesus. If you're a lost person, that's the place that you'll find the love of God. You'll find the love of God, because you can't know the Father unless you know the Son, and you can't know the Son unless you know the Father. But you come to Jesus, and Jesus brings you to the Father. Now please, the Holy Spirit is calling you today to come to Jesus. He's calling you as Jonah brought this message to Nineveh and proclaimed to them judgment. I'm telling you, the Word of God tells you there's going to be judgment. Now, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, I guarantee if you do not repent, you're going to die and go to hell. You're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. Now, I ask you that you will listen to this call. This is no different than the call that Jonah gave to Nineveh, and they responded. They listened to that. And they come to Jesus with a repentant heart. And that's what God's Word is asking you to do today, is come with a repentant heart and turn unto Jesus. Now, these folks here did that. God's desire was, his purpose was, that they would turn to him. And this purpose was accomplished. Those words that he sent out were words that turned these people unto him. And that's what he wanted. That was his purpose. Not to condemn them and not to place them in the holding tank, so to speak, and into to the place of torment until the last days, and when judgment will, the final judgment will come, and they'll be placed in the lake of fire. That's not the heart of God. But he has to let you realize who you are and what you are. And there's only one thing going to happen to us, and that's judgment if we don't come to Jesus. And so you see so many things. We hear the call. The call that Jonah sent out, they listened. The call that I'm sending out, are you listening? Because God will forgive you. And God will turn and call you his own. He's bought and paid for you. Will you please trust in that precious free gift? God does not change his mind. God's mind, he knows from the beginning. In Acts 15:18 says, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Malachi 3:6 says, for I am the Lord, I change not. It's not that they changed the mind of God because of something they did. God's mind is that all would be saved. All would come to Jesus. And when he calls them out and tells them what's going to happen to them, they woke up. But what are you going to do? Have you been very comfortable in the church you're sitting in now, and you've never heard these words that Jesus saves, and that you're going to die and spend eternity in the lake of fire, separated from any presence of God, any light at all? The fire is going to keep lipping up there, and you're going to have a memory. And that memory is going to remind you of the times that you heard the gospel and you heard that name of Jesus. And I believe through eternity you're going to hear those memories. They're going to come back to you continually. They will haunt you. Oh, please, that you listen as the people of Nineveh listened and come to Jesus. Come and listen. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. It's not that you just say the words. It's that you mean it in your heart. These people in Nineveh, from the greatest to the least, meant it in their heart. God, please. Oh, did those words ever touch their heart? And I hope that the words of this program will touch your heart. Acts chapter 26, verse 20, in the last half, that they should repent and turn to God and do the works meet for repentance. Putting on the sackcloth and sitting in ashes was a work meet for repentance. You could see the change in their heart. Now that's what it takes today, not to be saved. To be saved is that you turn unto Jesus, and when you turn, he accepts that and he saves you. But you should be doing then. If you've got a change in heart, you're going to act like it. And please, that you act like a believer in Jesus Christ. Not an act that you put on, but by coming to Jesus and feeling the relief of that burden. As these folks here, they wondered, God, what will you do? And they came before him, and who can tell if God will? That was the heart of God all along, that these people would be saved. That was his desire from the start. God saw their works. Now, they're not working their way to heaven, but he saw the result of their heart. Their heart turned from their wicked ways and turned unto God. You can only do that upon the calling of the Holy Spirit. You can only do that when you're drawn. God takes his word and he draws you. He's taking the word right now and he is drawing you unto him. Now you have a choice. Some people believe there is no choice. There is a choice. There is a decision to make. These Ninevites had a decision to make. And they repented from the top to the bottom, from the greatest to the least. Well, my friend, we've got the same opportunity that we will turn unto God with a repentant heart. And when we do that, He is faithful to save us. Now, these folks here, God saw their works. He saw what they did. That's what He wanted. That's what He wanted. That they turned from their evil way. That's what He wanted. He continued to bring and call upon judgment, to bring them to a point of decision. They had a decision to make, and God was so thankful. Because each one of us have a choice. God's desire of His heart that these people would come. And they did. And the Scripture says, and God repented of the evil that He had said that He would do unto them, and He did it not. The desire of the heart of God was that they would come to Him. He didn't change His mind. He didn't repent of some evil thing that He did as we need to do. God is perfect. God is all-knowing. And yes, He knew that the city of Nineveh would repent from the greatest to the least. And yes, God knew the day that I was going to be saved. But don't let anybody tell you that there wasn't a decision that I needed to make. And I could have made a decision and says, God, I'm sorry. I think I'm giving too much up to serve You, so I'm not going to be saved. I'm not going to come to You. There was a point in time in my life where I needed to make a decision to trust in Him, and I thank God I did. You have a decision to make today. These Ninevites had a decision to make. God would have destroyed them in 40 days if they had not repented. He called. He sent a messenger, and the man's name was Jonah. And he went into that city, and he preached into that city. Oh, to get the words unto that city. Look at the risk that Jonah was doing. How about you when you proclaim and claim to be a Christian, and yet you're not bringing the Word of God? You're not telling people Jesus saves. You're not telling people Do you know that whosoever confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, do you feel the penetration of that Holy Spirit in your heart? Do you feel that? Because if you do, if you feel that calling and that tugging, that's the power of God. That's the Spirit of God drawing you unto Him. Now will you please give up, as these people in Nineveh did. They gave up, and they come unto God. That's what He wants every heart to do. Please that you would come to Jesus. Please that you would turn unto the Lord, because the desire in the heart of God is that's what will come. He called these people. He went out to them and proclaimed with this messenger. But don't misunderstand, because these people had a choice to make. They had a decision to make. And yes, God, being all-knowing, knew what they were going to do. But that didn't take away from their responsibility. That doesn't take away from your responsibility today to come to Jesus. And don't give me this, well, it doesn't matter what I do, God knows anyway. You got a decision to make. And please, don't overlook your responsibility. Please that you come to Jesus, trust in Jesus. And again, Acts 26:20, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. If you're truly saved, if you truly come, and you're going to change. And please that we can see that. We can see God's presence in your life and in your heart. My friend, please be like Nineveh. Will you come to Jesus today? Will you turn to Him and walk after Him? What are you going to do with Jesus?